This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Iris Mitchell and
Isabella Freitas and
Natalie Garcia
and
Ashley Ellis,
Miles Wolfers and
Maxim Drager.
Graduation took place this weekend on Saturday at 2 p.m. We recorded this episode last Friday, so we hope that graduation went well. Congratulations to students who successfully graduated public high school.
These are the 2018-2019 ASB and class officers. ASB President Nathaniel Barnard.
ASB Vice President McKenna Davis Oberly.
ASB Secretary Jordan James.
ASB Treasurer Noemi Fernandez.
ASB Secretary Jordan James. ASB Communications Clayton Sackett.
ASB School Board Rep Kaylee Cover.
Senior Class Prez Mickey Fulton.
Senior
Vice Prez
John Cleespies.
Senior Secretary Kaylee Strain.
Senior Treasurer Holly Fallard.
Junior Class Pres Manny Zamora.
Junior Vice President Ethan Hooper.
Junior Secretary Maya Weaver.
Junior Treasurer Ivana Pettis.
Sophomore Class Pres Jennifer Christo.
Sophomore Vice President Annie Nathan.
Sophomore Secretary Tilly Peters.
Pause for a second. It should be Annie Nation.
Nation. I thought it was Nation, but I didn't think, like, why would their last name be Nation?
Everybody say sophomore.
Sophomore.
You say it with a T. Mm-hmm. It's sophomore.
No T. Sophomore.
There you go.
Sophomore.
So start over from sophomore.
Tied in to make it sophomore. Okay. Sophomore VP Annie Nation.
It's okay. Hey, everybody's got one or two then.
Sophomore Vice President Annie Nation.
One more time, those T's. Keep sneaking.
Nation. Okay. Sophomore Vice President Annie Nation.
I'll take it.
I'm sorry.
It's good, Max.
I'm sorry for making you angry at me, Miles.
No, nobody.
I'm not angry. You're not angry.
I'm sorry, I spread the bad English.
I suddenly decided to speak in second person.
Sophomore Secretary Tilly Peters.
Sophomore Treasurer Rylan Bruce.
Freshman Class Pres Faith Burton.
Freshman Vice President Charlie Notel.
What? Nolte? Is it Nolte?
Nolte. Nolte.
Freshman Vice President Charlie Nolte.
Noltellen.
I can't.
Okay. Nolte. Is it Nolte?
I think it's just Nolte.
Nolte. Freish.
Freish. Bucket.
Is it usually like this?
Is it?
Oh, it's just everyone giddy today.
Only when there's a Wolfers in the room does it get this
one. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'll just go.
No. Freshman Vice President Charlie Nolte.
Freshman Secretary Megan Pearson.
Freshman Treasurer Caleb Barnes.
Brookings Harbor High School football practice is ongoing. For anyone interested in learning more, check out the new BHHS Gridiron website, which you can find through the Brookings Harbor High School athletics website, or you can reach out to head football coach Sean Bavaro. Bruin Radio would like to congratulate Jean Shearer on becoming the new high school athletics director. We look forward to having her on our show to hear about what's going on in athletics at our school.
Finals are happening this week. The finals I am most worried about are, everyone answer. Start with Ashley.
I'm really worried about the geometry final, honestly. Iris?
Iris?
Every final ever made.
All of them?
All of them.
Natalie, what's this final that you're most... God! Natalie, what's the final you're most worried about?
I'm most worried about my art final, my English final, and my geometry final.
What do you have to do for your art final? Like, how do they measure that?
We're supposed to... We're supposed to make a poster about how great Brookings is.
What do you plan to do?
I'm doing an ironic poster about how bad Brookings is.
That is cool.
So, Isabella, what are you most worried about?
Oh, Isabella! Repeat the question. Re-ask it.
So, Izzy, what are you most worried about?
Probably my Algebra 2 final. Not because it's going to be hard, but because I'm really bad at math. Like, horrendously bad.
Me too.
At math. Probably just math. Like, I'm really bad at math. Like, just so bad.
We love you anyways.
Anyways.
Thank you all.
Pain. Pain is so
bad. I'm sorry, everybody who had to listen this week. Have a good week. Bye.
A Brookings Harbor High School student has published a book of poetry. Carmen Ryan has read her work on Bruin Radio on our Powerful Poetry segment, and her readings get a lot of positive feedback from listeners. Her book is titled From the Railroad Ties, and it can be purchased on the website lulu.com. That's the work of Carmen Ryan. Brookings Harbor High School volleyball is getting started now. There are workouts scheduled over the summer, and there's a team camp that starts on July 30th, a preseason meeting on August 2nd and 3rd, and official volleyball tryouts on August 13th and 14th. If you want to be part of Brookings Harbor High School volleyball, you need to contact Coach Emily Prizer as soon as possible. Use the BHHS Volleyball Facebook group to get in touch with them now. The Chetco Pelican Players, friends of Bruin Radio, are performing the musical comedy Once Upon a Mattress this weekend and next weekend. Their opening nights took place just this last weekend, so there's still time to go and see the show. The show opens at 6:45 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and matinee is on Sundays at 1:15 p.m. The final showing is on the 24th of July on a Sunday. Here are some of the interviews of the cast and crew of Once Upon a Mattress. Hello, Bruin Radio. This is Dane Tipman. I'm here at the Chetco Pelican Players Theater. I'm joined by someone. Tell us, what is your name and who are you in our community?
My name is Marianne Traylor. A lot of the community knows me as the wife of Mark Traylor, who is a longtime employee at the high school. But I am also have been a welfare case manager and a mother and a resident of this town for 30 years.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Tell us, what's your role here at the theater these days?
Well, I am a member of the board of directors at the musical theater, and right now I am directing a musical called Once Upon a Mattress.
Tell us a little bit about your history with Once Upon a Mattress.
It was broadcast on television when I was a child. It was actually first performed in 1959, which is the year I was born. And Carol Burnett played the part of Princess Winifred. And I'm a big fan of Carol Burnett. It made a huge impact on me. I'd only seen it once. And I saw it as a young child, but it stayed with me. The impact it made on me was tremendous. And when I had an opportunity to direct it 14 years ago, I jumped at the opportunity and begged to have the opportunity to do this, and I just was so excited because it was such a big part of my childhood.
What kind of a play is Once Upon a Mattress?
It is a parody of a fairy tale. It's The Princess and the Pea with a twist.
Okay.
And in the way that I describe it to my actors is it's a cartoon. It's not even a real fairy tale or a parody of a fairy tale. It's not a satire. It's a cartoon. So I encourage them all to be as cartoony and as possible and enjoy themselves. And I think that I've succeeded. My cast just seems very enthusiastic. They seem to be really enjoying themselves. And that's always my goal when I direct a show. Is community theater is all about having a good time and doing something you love.
Tell us why community theater is important.
Community theater is, I feel, is really important in any town or any area because it is a continuation of support of the arts. And arts is more than just painting and drawing and sculpting.
Agreed.
It's theater. It's music. And nowhere is that brought together and married better than in musical theater, where people are allowed to step up outside of themselves and to be someone else and to encourage them to learn to speak better in public, to have confidence in themselves, walk with more confidence, act with more confidence, move with more confidence, and that kind of practice will actually carry into their everyday life. People who are active in theater do seem to present themselves with more confidence in the real world.
Mm. How would you compare Once Upon a Mattress to other productions that you have experience with?
As I said, it's a cartoon. It's a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's not quite slapstick comedy.
Not quite.
Not quite, no. Okay. It's kind of its own genre.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sweet, family-friendly tale that has enough edgy for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that there are little play on words that the adults will catch on to, but the kids won't have a clue. I trust. Mm. Trust me.
Is it a pretty smart script then?
It is a very smart script. It was very well written, and it has been performed recently within the last 5 years. Carol Burnett did it again.
Oh, wow.
Only this time she played Queen Agravaine.
Hmm.
And in the DVD version that I have, Tracy Ullman plays the part of Princess Fred.
Hmm.
And I think that she's perfect for that role as a modern actress and singer.
Well, speaking of these roles, tell us about the cast you've assembled for this play.
Oh, it's a fantastic conglomeration of really well-experienced, talented actors that everyone has seen at least once, twice, or many times on the stage here at Chetco Playhouse.
Excellent.
And also a bunch of new people that have either little or no experience in the theater. For some of them, it's their first time on stage. For some of them, it's maybe their only second time on stage. But they're all very talented and dedicated people who are really enjoying this opportunity to shine.
Tell us about some of your crew and your behind-the-scenes crew.
Behind the scenes, your supporting staff. Yes. I have the absolute best person in the world as my stage manager. Kelly Scruggs is a longtime friend, and we've worked together on many shows, and she's really experienced as a stage manager, and she's got things really under control and has been with us throughout the whole rehearsal period and been hanging out and getting to know everything, all the nuances. Mm-hmm. Another crew member is Justice, a very delightful young man. I've not worked with him before, but he seems to really be enjoying his time here in the theater. And of course, behind the scenes, but never far from the front of our minds, is our incredible costume mistress and costumer, BJ Ferris. Costumer to the stars.
Well, tell us when and where can people start to see Mattress?
Mattress will open on June 8th and run 3 weekends through June 24th. Friday and Saturday performances start at 7:30, and Sunday matinees start at 2. So if you don't want to go out after dark or be out after dark and driving's an issue, come see the matinee. Wonderful time to come see this show, especially because, as I said, it's a family-friendly show. And tickets can be made available through reservation in particular.
Okay. Okay.
The phone number for the reservation is 541-469-1877. And you can make sure that a ticket is ready for you. If you can't pick it up ahead of time, it'll be held for you. And it's just going to be a wonderful, happy family show. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to present this to our community.
That's perfect. Everyone, this was Marianne Traylor here at the Chetco Pelican Players Playhouse. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Dane.
Let's see if we can't talk to a few other members of your crew here today.
All right.
All right, everyone. Hey, I'm joined by a member of the crew of Once Upon a Mattress. Tell us, what is your name and who are you in our community?
BJ Ferris. I am the secretary for my husband's business. He has appliance repair, the service center. I do the costuming for Checo Pelican Players, which has led me to be able to actually work on some movies. Because of volunteering with Checo Pelican Players, it worked into some paying positions in some movies. I teach sign language classes at the college. And I'm a mother of six and a grandmother of more than that.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about your film experience.
The first one was, I called it Babysitting a Costume. Mm. A independent filmmaker was doing a Sasquatch film.
A Sasquatch film. This is the right state for that.
They love it here, yeah. And Christopher Munch, from he's a director from L.A., came up and was filming up here. And this awesome, Lou Ramirez makes these awesome costumes. They're actually considered makeup because they're so involved with, you know. And the guy that was in it was a big, tall, 6'5" actor. He played the pirate. He was the big black guy with the little scars and everything. Mm-hmm. Dooley's in the second Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean film.
Yeah. 6'5".
Sure.
Isaac Singleton Jr. Really nice man. Mm-hmm. So we had to layer him in. It took 2.5 hours to get him into his costume.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I called it babysitting the costume because that's actually what I was doing. I helped the guy that came up from L.A. to apply the pieces and did that for like over a week. And then I ended up doing a couple other films for that same director and met crew members from Medford. And then they would have other films. And then I would get to go, you know, they'd call me and say, hey, BJ, you want to do makeup or wardrobe? Because I can do both. I was a licensed hairdresser for many years. So I can do either. As a matter of fact, one of the last films I worked on last year, we were able to drag in one of our young ladies from here, Kiana Hendricks, who's also a part of Once Upon a Mattress, who I predict will be getting Academy Awards someday for her makeup. She's
marvelous.
Really, really good with special effects.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks. Academy Award predictions.
She will.
Excellent.
The deal is, I got her first job, so she has to have a special seat for me at the Academy Awards. I don't care if I'm 85 and they have to roll me in a wheelchair.
Okay.
I'm going. Anyway.
So, for those of us and the audience who may not know, tell us about the difference between makeup and wardrobe.
Well, wardrobe is the costuming. Makeup is usually hair and makeup, special effects makeup.
Okay.
In theater, you have really heavy makeup. In movies, you have very light makeup. They're like worlds apart because the close-up of the cameras, you know, that on theater, it's the 30-foot rule. You know, it's like, can we see those eyebrows? Layer those babies on again. So it's a whole different system, and when someone gets involved with one or the other, if they haven't worked on the other side, it can be a little bit daunting.
What are some of the things that people don't realize goes into the job of being a costumer and making costumes for people?
Well, being the costumer doesn't actually necessarily mean that you make them. Most of the costumers you see in movies, they don't actually make the costumes. They design them, they order them, they put them together, they take the vision of the director and make sure that it is produced. Now, that doesn't mean you don't. Some of them are very particular about, this has got to be this way, this has got to be that way. I, even for this, there's a few things I'm making, but most of it is procured. Oh, that'll work for that. Let me cut that off of that. Let me add that to that. Community theater, you know, we're really strapped for funds. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we have. And I'm really picky about it. And any of you who got to see Chicago, it was like, that was my opus. It was wonderful. This is going to be a really fun play to see. It's funny. It's musical. And the costumes are going to be fun to see because they're medieval, you know. So,
imagine that there's a young person who wants to become a costume designer. What advice would you give them to help them get started out? What should they start doing now to gain experience? Or
well, they could start volunteering at one of the local theaters. There's also Brookings Harbor, who works a lot with the young people.
Brookings Harbor Community Theater.
Yeah, we do some children here, not nearly as much as they do. Finding someone who's willing to let you work with them, because some people that are, you know, hands-on, oh, no, I don't want it that way, it's tougher. But this summer, we'll be doing a kids' production, Thumbelina. arena. And if someone was interested, I'd be willing to take on a little intern and let him work with doing costumes.
Oh, that's great.
So
you revealed that a costumer needs to see the vision of the director. What would you say the vision of the director was for Once Upon a Mattress?
She wanted it to be a little cartoonish, mm-hmm. not drab, mm. not, you know, so it's going to be, some of the costumes will be a little over the top, like, mm. whoa, that's a little bright, or, but that's what she was looking for. She mm. wants it to be a little more, mm. you know, out there. The only, I think, the minstrel will be the most reserved, because mm. I kind of see the minstrel as like the narrator, kind of pulling it all together. But even that, she's... She, because we have a female playing our minstrel in a man's role, mm. is going to look, you know, good and shiny and out there, but in gold and black, not red and green and blue and purple. So,
yeah, I understand. Yeah. All right, everyone, this was BJ Ferris. BJ, thank you very much for your time. I'm joined by another member of the cast of Once Upon a Mattress. Tell us, what is your name and who are you in our community?
I am Kiana Hendricks, and I am an avid theater participant, and I work at Town and Country Animal Clinic.
And tell us, what is your role in Once Upon a Mattress?
I am Princess Winifred the Woebegone.
Tell us a little bit about Princess Winifred.
So, Princess Winifred is actually my first lead role that I've ever done.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited about this role. She is not your average princess. She is very headstrong, very independent. She does not need a man, but she wants one. She mm. does. She's very... lonely, I guess you could say. Hmm. But she is very strong-willed, very stubborn, very strong. She just wants to do everything by herself. But she's also very goofy, very awkward, and just silly.
Tell us, what do you think of the play Once Upon a Mattress now that you're really starting to get into it?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's just, it's a blast. And it's not a normal play, not a normal musical.
Ooh, how so?
Well, normally musicals are very... I don't know. People don't really like normal musicals. They're kind of over the top and mm. not in a fun way. Mm. In more of a, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Kind of an eye-roll-y, like, oh no, okay. another musical number. But this is very funny, very fun. Mm. It's kind of a, it's just goofy.
Tell us about Winifred's relationship with some of the other characters on stage.
So her relationship with, Dauntless, for example, her love interest is pretty hilarious because he is very soft-spoken, and that's not normally the relationship between a princess and a prince. Mm. It's kind of roles reversed. He's the dauntless in distress, I guess you could say. Okay. And that's, I kind of like that that aspect of it that's not normal in a play. Kind of roles. It's a lot of reversed roles in this one. Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's a very gender bent play.
Tell us about some of your fellow actors up on stage in Once Upon a Mattress.
Oh, the Queen is my favorite by far.
Your favorite?
Oh,
okay,
yes,
tell us why.
Yes. Well, me and Kathy in real life. She's a very sweet lady. I love Kathy to death. Just very soft-spoken, very courteous, but she yells at me on stage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, many times. Gets up in my face, and it's great because, you know, we get to laugh about it backstage. And then it's kind of fun. It's fun to see her have a totally different attitude on stage.
What kind of a mood should a person be in before they come to see Once Upon a Mattress?
Oh, just expect goofy.
Expect goofy.
Oh, the goofiest of goofy. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Expect to laugh. Laugh a lot.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am joined by another cast member of Once Upon a Mattress. Tell us, what is your name and who are you in our community?
My name is Chase Hahn. I am Prince Dauntless in the show. I did 13 or 14 other shows for the Dory Randall Performing Arts Center. Other than that, though, I haven't done much community work.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the other plays you've been involved with.
The last one before this was Fiddler on the Roof.
Ah, what character did you play in Fiddler on the Roof?
I can't remember the name, but it was the rabbi's son. He had like three lines.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about Prince Dauntless in Once Upon a Mattress.
Prince Dauntless is Queen Agravain's son.
Mm.
He's a sheltered little bean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prince Dauntless is the character who needs to get married in the show. No one else can get married before Prince Dauntless can.
No one else where?
In the entire kingdom.
Whoa, okay.
So, Dauntless is 25 years old, and many of the knights and ladies are much older than Prince Dauntless, and they're still being held up.
Mm.
But the reason why Dauntless can't get married is because Queen Agravain, his mother, is the one who's holding him back. The princesses need to go through ridiculous tests that are practically impassable.
Now, as this is a musical theater production, there's going to be singing and music. What kind of singing does Prince Dauntless have to do in this play?
I'm in 3 or 4 songs. Two songs I have prominent roles in.
Oh, wow. Tell us about your own singing experience, then.
Most of the shows I've done in the past, like 7 or 8 of the 13 or so shows, have been musicals.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't have much singing experience.
Okay. Tell us about some of the other actors you're sharing the stage with.
Well, the most prominent one I can think of would be my wife in the show, Princess Winifred.
Tell us about Princess Winifred's character.
So she is a princess for all intents and purposes, but how to put it, a bit of a hick.
Whoa, you can say that. That's okay.
It feels very rude.
Well, we're talking about a character in a play. That's okay. So she's not exactly like your run of the mill typical princess.
No, she is very unladylike.
So if Princess Winifred is unique, tell us about how Once Upon a Mattress is unique. What sets it apart from other plays?
Like, it's a bit of a satire of an average fairy tale of the princess and the pea. I don't know beyond that.
That's perfect. No, that's perfectly fine. All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was excellent.
That was the cast and crew of Once Upon a Mattress. To learn more, visit the Chetco Pelican Players website.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just listened to the final Bruin Radio episode of the 2017-18 school year. This is episode 71 of our show. That's right, 71 total student and staff-run episodes, including our first 25 episodes, which were part of KCRE and KPOD's Kudos for Kids segment. Bruin Radio is taking a summer break, so we'll be shuttering our student studio so that everyone can take a much-deserved vacation. You may still hear a Bruin Radio interview or two over the summer, so don't give up on us completely. We wanted to take a moment to say a special thanks to some of our Bruin Radio volunteers who are moving on from our school. Thank you to Miles Wolfers, Angela Acosta, Logan Brown, Gage and McLean Westbrook, Andrew Watling, Jaden Payne, Jeremy Penninger, Bridget Mitchell, and Jed Doan. This year could not have happened without the hard work of Isabella Freitas, Maxim Drager, Natalie Garcia, and Ashley Ellis. And we hope to hear more from those students next year. We also want to thank Vice Principal Alex Merritt, and we wish him a great adventure as he heads up to Washington to take his skills, love, and Bruin pride to that state. Thanks also goes out to the Curry County Cultural Coalition for their grant, which, matched with Curry Coast Community Radio funds, purchased radio recording equipment for our use in school. Finally, we'd like to thank Principal Lisa Dion, Superintendent Sean Gallagher, and District Public Relations Director Nancy Ruskowskis-Coons for their support. Listeners, make sure you subscribe to the district's Key Communicators newsletter to stay connected with our schools. Visit our website and look for Key Communicators, check out our school Facebook pages, and consider subscribing to our superintendent's Twitter account to keep in touch with us. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits. This is Dane Tipman and Bruin Radio signing off for the summer break.
You're listening to KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting at 100.7 FM.